I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you know that you absolutely detest being in it? You can't stand the pain. You can't stand the discomfort. You don't want to engage with this person. You don't want to be in a situation anymore. And yet the situation keeps coming back round. You feel stuck in this cycle with that person. You may have tried to distance yourself and you've been successful for a time, and then you're back in it all over again. Well, if so, you're not alone. This is something that so many of us struggle with. And when we do, we tend to feel baffled as to why this is, because we can see irrefutable reasons as to why we need to step away. We can see, for instance, that person did not treat me with love, care, trust, and respect. I absolutely need to be no contact. So no contact being where we temporarily or permanently distance ourselves after a breakup. And the reason why we would do no contact is because we didn't have healthy boundaries, for instance, in the relationship or post-breakup. And it's becoming clear that if we continue to engage, we are not going to be able to take care of ourselves, that we're going to be stuck in an unhealthy cycle. And so going no contact gives us the space to grieve the loss of the relationship, to take care of ourselves, and to move forward with love, care, trust, and respect. It puts boundaries in place that say, hey, our relationship has come to an end. And now we need to establish new boundaries that reflect this so that we are both able to move forward. And yet, I hear from so many people, and believe me, I was there myself, where we just cannot seem to stay no contact. And last year when I was working on a masterclass and resources called Create Your No Contact Plan. And this was for people who didn't know how to really start no contact, or who seemed to struggle with it and kept falling off the proverbial wagon. I realized that it was important to address why it is that we sometimes struggle to be successfully no contact. And the successfully bit is the key. I realized that the reason we struggle to, for instance, be no contact, or we struggle to follow through on something that would stop us from being stuck in the cycle of pain and discomfort that we're in, is because of what we associate being successful with. So we might want to be no contact. We might technically want to be successful at no contact, but what we might not be prepared to deal with is what being successful at no contact means. If we're successful at no contact, that means that we are, successfully no contact. We are no longer in touch with that person, or we're certainly no longer romantically entangled with that person. Or if it was a friend or a family member, we're no longer engaging with them in the way that we used to. And that might be something that scares us. We might be like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm never going to hear from them again. It's like, this means that it's over. We would have to accept that whatever the relationship is meant to have been, it's been. And that we now have to grieve the loss of the relationship and move forward. For a lot of people, what's underneath that fear of being successful at no contact is fear of having to move forward and being open to a genuinely healthy relationship. They have underlying fear of commitment, of losing themselves in a relationship, of being trapped in a relationship. Something I've spoken about on the podcast before, so I'll make sure I link to this in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/254. Whatever it is, even though they consciously want, for instance, to be in a loving relationship, and they consciously don't want to be exposing themselves to being in the same painful and uncomfortable situation again, on an unconscious level, and sometimes on a conscious level, they have some conflicting fears, right? So they, in being afraid of getting things wrong. So it's like, oh my God, well, what if I allow myself to be open to a loving relationship and then I mess it up somehow? I just don't think I could bear that. That fear of getting things wrong, that fear of being trapped, whatever it might be, can become this block that causes us to act in ways that are inconsistent with who we say we are and what we say we want. So the person who struggles with no contact is also actually struggling with their fear of being successful at it. Now, this is something that can apply in any area of our life. So another one I hear a lot about is, you know, we have, for instance, a loved one, family member, friend, somebody, and the dynamic is pretty unhealthy. When it's good, it's good. And when it's not, it's horrendous. We may not admit it, but we're walking on eggshells in that relationship because we're braced for the next time things are going to kick off. So maybe even though we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever age we are, this person sees fit to scream at us, to cuss us out, to cut us off for a while, to blame us for stuff. They're still treating us as if no time has passed at all and that we're not the age that we are, that we're now like 5 or 10 or whatever it is. And we might hate that situation. We might tell anybody who will listen, I hate being like this with my mom or my dad or my sister or my brother or my friend or whoever it is. And yet, there we are, still going. Maybe sometimes we have attempted to have a bit of distance. Maybe sometimes we've attempted to say our piece, you know, our attempt at trying to create some level of boundary there, and then we're back in it again. And when we look at what's going on there, about why we are, for instance, resistant to creating the boundary that we know that we need to create, that might mean having to say a particular thing, about having to draw a particular line, about not doing certain things. It's because of what we think will happen if we are successful at doing that. For instance, so many people are afraid of having boundaries. We have a negative association with no. We treat it like it's a dirty word. Something, incidentally, that I've written a whole book on that will be out later on this year, The Joy of Saying No. Now, if we finally have healthy boundaries in a situation where we've previously resisted having healthy boundaries, guess what that tells us? Oh, yeah. Turns out I can successfully create healthy boundaries. And you would think that we would be pleased with this knowledge. But actually, for a lot of us, that can be quite scary when the story we've told ourselves is that we don't have no agency, that we don't have no choices, that we have to be at the mercy of everybody else. So we're afraid that if we create healthy boundaries in this instance and we are successful at it, that we are now on the hook for creating healthy boundaries elsewhere. It could be that we feel that if we are successful at creating a healthy boundary, so from our side of the street, which basically represents who we are and who we say that we want to be. So we're no longer in, you know, a child role. We're no longer acting as if we have to play the part of being the listener or the black sheep or the scapegoat or the over-responsible one or the under-responsible one or the victim or the rescuer or whatever role it might be. And I talk about this in episode 128, for instance, and I think in also episode 158. But again, I'll make sure I link to these in the show notes. If we stop playing those roles, if we allow ourselves to grow up, then we have to take responsibility for ourselves. We have to own ourselves. And sometimes we are afraid of that. We're afraid that we won't get to tell the same stories. We're afraid of, actually, who the hell will I be if I don't play these roles, if I finally have these boundaries? What will be my purpose? What if this person doesn't need me anymore? Maybe what happens actually is that we're afraid that if we are successful at it, that we might discover that now that we're not doing that, that this person doesn't really have any use for us, that maybe they divert their attentions elsewhere. So even though it's not positive attention and affection that we're receiving in the relationship, we feel that it's better than, for instance, our sibling getting attention from this person. And, you know, if we look underneath our fear of being successful at getting ourselves out of a cycle or something, getting ourselves out of this stuckness with this particular person. And we recognize that it's because we believe that the relationship would be over otherwise, then that's telling us actually that the relationship really is already over. It's just we're keeping it together based on these illusions. And we're often prepared to do it because when we don't have to face whatever it is, we can tell ourselves that we're a particular person. And so it's like, well, I'm continuing like this because, you know, I believe in family. I'm trying to be a good family member. I'm trying to be a good daughter. And it allows us to signal what we believe are good things about us. This makes me a good person, a good human. But all we're doing is catering to an illusion. We're catering to a lie. And this causes us to compromise ourselves. So when we look underneath why we seem to be resisting the thing that we say that is important to us, when we look at why we keep falling off the wagon about something, it is about what being successful at it would mean, because our identity would change, right? We have an identity right now based in whatever the situation is. And if we take steps that move us towards a more successful outcome, that's going to change our identity. If we're somebody who's like, I'm such a screw up, I'm a failure, I'm this and I'm that, of course, on some level, we're going to end up avoiding being successful at something because that changes the story. We can't keep saying I'm a failure and I screw up and I make all of these mistakes. So we have to change the story about us. We have to stop playing the role. We have to own ourselves. We have to allow us to grow up. We also discover maybe that we can't hide, because sometimes what happens is that we are embroiled in a situation and that proves to be a massive distraction, for instance, from having to feel our feelings, from having to go after the thing that actually truly matters to us. We get to play act at being somebody else so that we don't have to confront the true weight of being the person we are and that we're meant to be. Of course, if we don't allow us to be successful at whatever it is that we need to do, then we get to blame somebody. Maybe it's us we get to blame. Maybe we get to be hard on ourselves, but maybe we get to blame the other person. Maybe we get to blame everybody else. Maybe it's that we identify with being in this sort of victim mentality. And of course, there are undoubtedly instances where we are the victim of something. But when we are over-identifying with that as an identity, there is this sense of, I have to suffer. And if your identity is suffering, you will not put yourself in a situation that stops you from suffering, because that's going to get in the way of your identity. And so we have to understand these things about ourselves. Sometimes it can be that we're afraid of overshadowing, that we are afraid of outshining somebody. So it's like, okay, yeah, when I'm, for instance, stuck in this cycle of this unhealthy relationship, I get to be this, this, and this. But if I am successful at getting out of that relationship, I'm no longer the screw up. I'm no longer the one who can't hold down a relationship. I'm no longer whatever it is, my sibling or my parent or whoever it is says about me. And now that will change the dynamics and I might outshine them. We see this, for instance, when we're used to playing it small. So maybe we've learned to dim our light so as not to outshine a parent or so as not to outshine a sibling. And that's just become a way of life for us. And so on some level, we may be afraid that if we allow us to be successful at whatever it is, even though it would be undoubtedly in our best interest, that it could be the difference between decimating our well-being and allowing us to grow and enhancing our well-being, we might be like, oh my gosh, this is going to bring death and destruction. This is going to bring alienation and abandonment. And that might not even be a conscious thought process, but what we might experience in that circumstance is this overwhelming fear, this sense of anxiety about how we're going to lose someone or something. And the other thing that we can be afraid that success will invite is expectations. Now, that can be our own expectations of ourselves, like, oh my gosh, I'm successful at this thing, so now I will have to expect this, this, and this from me. Or it might be other people will expect. And so we might have this fear of being pushed too far outside of our comfort zone. If you're in a situation where you feel stuck, it's painful, it's very uncomfortable, and yet you're going round and round in circles, you keep going back, or maybe you feel frozen in that situation where you're just not sure what to do, maybe you're experiencing a lot of resistance. It's time to ask this question. What would it mean if I was successful at doing this? So let's say it's no contact. If I am successful at no contact, what would that mean to me? What do I think is going to happen? What will I have to deal with? What will I have to confront? What will I no longer be able to do? If I am successful at creating healthier boundaries between me and my parent, me and my sibling, me and whoever it is, what do I think being successful will mean? So what do I think will happen? What do I think I will have to do? What won't I be able to do as a result? Exploring these answers helps you to get a sense of what is holding you back, because it is so easy in these situations to judge ourselves and be like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure, I'm a screw up, I'm not good enough, I'm blah, blah, blah. And deep down, we humans, when we go against ourselves, it's about our underlying feelings of unworthiness, feeling worthy enough to do something, feeling worthy enough to be successful at something, feeling worthy enough of our own self-care, feeling worthy enough of our own attention, feeling worthy enough of going after what we need, desire, and deserve. You can also ask yourself, if I'm not successful at this, what will it mean? Who do I get to continue being? What won't I have to do? What will that mean for me? By exploring your answers to these questions, you get to have increased self-awareness and self-knowledge about what is really going on. You get to use that intel to make choices that best support who you are and how you say you want to be, that best support you feeling and continuing to feel the way that you want to feel. Recognizing actually that you are a human being who has contradictions, who has underlying fears, allows you to liberate you from something that has caused you a sense of stuckness, that has maybe caused you a great deal of discomfort and pain. In a world that teaches us to be distrustful of our feelings, to be compliant, to be afraid of displeasing, it really isn't that big of a surprise that in instances where we need to take action in our best interests, even though the other person may not agree to it, and in instances where, as a result of making more aligned choices with our values, we get to be more of who we really are, that we experience a great deal of fear sometimes. And in recognizing that this is what we are experiencing, we get to choose a different way. The more conscious, aware, and present we become, including in recognizing these old patterns and how they show up in our life, is the better choices we can make, is the more successful outcomes that we experience. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time, and take care of you. Thanks so much for listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. If you'd like to say hi, or you want to let me know what you thought of an episode or of the show in general, or you'd like to suggest a topic, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram. I'm at NatLue. That's NatLue. You can find links to it and my other social channels in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/254. There is a full list of episodes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcast. And if you've enjoyed the show and you haven't done so already, I would love it if you could subscribe in whichever podcast player that you're listening in. And if you could take another moment to rate and review the show, that would also be fab, because it all helps with spreading the word. The Baggage Reclaim Sessions doesn't feature external advertising. So if you're enjoying what I share on here and you'd like to support, you can do so by checking out the blog. I have classes, I have courses, and I've also got my books and audio series. And you can find all of these on the main website at baggagereclaim.co.uk or .com.